Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study where we endeavor to study the scriptures line upon line. Tonight will be no different. God willing, we'll cover or we're going to return to the book of Psalms. We're in book five, the final book of the Psaltery, and we're at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. So we're going to be camping out here for a while, for a few weeks, but it's going to be a worthwhile, very joyous psalm, a very triumphant psalm, and a wisdom psalm. Let's open with a word of prayer. Hopefully I'm coming through loudly and clearly. I'll check the chat after the prayer, and then we'll get into Psalm 119. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are so grateful to you, Father. We live in a world of confusion and chaos, and it's getting worse by the day. Every week that passes, every Sabbath that we have the privilege of observing, we also observe the chaos in the world around us, the darkness that is descending upon this world. And we just thank you so much, Father, for the light of your word and how we're able to order our steps righteously because of your word. Thank you so much, Father, and thank you that we have each other. We pray that you'll bless us, Lord, as we endeavor to understand your word and to live by your word. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our soon coming King, and we pray in his name. Amen. So let me just confirm yes, thank you, Pastor Murray. Audio and video are coming through clearly. So that is wonderful. And, as I mentioned, Psalm 119, which we will cover this evening, we're not going to cover the whole psalm. I just want to cover, hopefully, the first 40 verses. That will take us through five stanzas. The reason there's 176 verses in the book of Psalms is because, and let me just show you this. Give me one moment. Yeah, the reason that there's 176 verses in the book of Psalms is because, in Psalm 119, is it's an acrostic psalm. So every letter of the Aleph Bet, or the alphabet in Hebrew, there are 22 letters. Each stanza is introduced by one of the letters of the alphabet, and then each stanza has eight verses. And every one of those eight verses will begin with the letter that introduced that stanza. So the first stanza has eight verses. Every single line begins with the letter Aleph. The second stanza, introduced by the letter Bet, every line, there's going to be eight lines in that stanza. Every line will begin with the letter Bet, and so on through all 22 verses. So that's how we come up with 176 verses. And so clearly this is a memory device, but it is also showing the mastery of the psalmist to be able to communicate to us such depth of meaning. And it's really a celebration of the Torah, a high regard for the Torah and the wisdom that the Torah enables us to live by. And clearly this psalmist, not only is it going to be easier for those who are memorizing the Hebrew text, but clearly it shows the mastery that the psalmist has over the Torah and the love that the psalmist has for the Torah, the depth of meditation that the psalmist had with the Torah to be able to structure this message for us using this very advanced mechanism of communicating in a very structured way. 22 stanzas, each one having eight verses, and every one of those verses for that stanza beginning with the appropriate Hebrew letter of the alphabet, and really just showing the complete regard from A, so we would say, you know, from A to Z, the complete regard that the psalmist has for the word of God. So let's begin with the Psalm. Actually, before I go to Psalm 119, let us just rejoice in the wisdom that we have available to us through God's word. As I was studying this psalm and preparing for the Bible study, it just really overwhelmed me, the evil and the confusion in this world, and how we and our families and our brethren are able to step aside from this confusion and this chaos and this darkness and live in God's light. And as I'm reading the psalm, it's like I see the value of this for us today. So just before I get into the actual psalm, just in terms of what's going on today, just again to make sure that we are staying relevant with the world that we live in terms of what is going on today, let me just remind you, if you just look at this, this is the Supreme Roe versus Wade decision. So just remind you what they're talking about. They're talking about the destruction of human life. And those people who are opposing this and who want to destroy the judgment of the Supreme Court, what they're rejoicing in and what they're protesting for is the destruction of human life. And the scripture says that the time will come when people will be without natural affection. And we're seeing it today. Like, this is absolute insanity. This is madness. This began with the desire, or at least ostensibly, that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And it's gone from that to abortions need to be everywhere, on demand, by everybody, right up to the potential last moment of birth, and even after, post-birth abortion, they call it. This is absolute... absolute madness, absolute sickness, absolute insanity. But this is just a reflection of the world that we live in and how Satan has captured the minds of human beings made in God's image and likeness. And there but for the grace of God go I and go you, but for the grace of God. We could easily be swept up in this and so many other dimensions of confusion. And through God's word, we're able to stay on a right path. And that, I think, brings us now to Psalm 119, which begins with Aleph, and then all eight verses will begin with this letter. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And we as Christians are followers of the way. And this term, blessed. And when Christ came and he gave us the Beatitudes, it's hard for us to get our mind around this. In Revelation, John tells us we are blessed if we keep reading this revelation. Those who read it and those who hear it are blessed. We just hear blessed and it sounds nice, but I don't think we fully appreciate the magnitude of the blessing. But he says here, blessed are, oh, just opens up, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Torah of Jehovah. And that's what we do. Now this takes us all the way back to Psalm 1, which says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the capstone psalm, the sort of the keynote of the psaltery that kicks things off, that there is tremendous wisdom and blessing in the way of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And so this author of Psalm 119, I think it's David, I'm not 100% sure, but whoever this author is, clearly meditated day and night on the Torah, and was able to take this vast knowledge and appreciation of the Torah and put it into this beautiful structured poem. And it's clearly his delight was in the law of the Lord. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There is a judgment. There is a judgment. And so everybody can have their way right now. Christ is silent. In fact, Isaiah tells us that the God of the Holy One of Israel is hiding his face from Jacob. So God is hidden, except to those whom he has called and has chosen to reveal himself. But for the world, he's hidden. And everybody can say whatever they want. Everybody can do whatever they want. And they are doing that. But there's going to be a judgment. And that is the reality. That's the eternal reality. And when this judgment comes, there's going to be two camps, those who are blessed and those who are cursed. And so the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's two different ways. And this insanity that's just sweeping the world today, especially the Western world, it's a way. It's a way that people can adopt, and they are. And the way that the Torah teaches is diametrically opposed. And so there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. This chaos that we are seeing increasingly around the world, it's setting us up for a spectacular collision between the followers of the way, the followers of the Torah, and everybody else. It's going to be a spectacular collision. Everywhere I go today, we see these flags. It's Pride Month. We see these flags. In fact, in Toronto, where we are here, in north of the major highway 400, they've taken down this very, very tall flagpole, which flies the Canadian flag. And they've taken the Canadian flag down. And they've replaced it with the Pride flag. This is just, if you were to go back 4 decades and tell people this is what awaits you, you're starting to cooperate with these people, this is what's going to happen. They would never believe it. But that hoisting of the Pride flag in lieu of the Canadian flag is telling you who has the upper hand and who's in control. And we need to see this spectacular conflict that is coming. The whole moral code of society has been turned upside down by these neo-socialists, these Marxists, neo-Marxists. And so this is why it's the moral, it is moral to fight for abortion. It's the moral thing to do, to murder children. And you are immoral if you were to stand in the way. It's the moral thing to do to support pedophilia. And you are immoral if you try to stand in the way. Everything is upside down and backwards. And those in control are setting us up for a spectacular collision. That's why we have to be very, very careful. What movements are we supporting? What mandates are we supporting? Are we giving our voice to those who hate Christ? Are we lending our support to those movements that will ultimately culminate in the destruction of the followers of the way? We need to have wisdom. And the Torah gives us wisdom. So he says here, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's only two ways. And we need to be very clear about the way of the righteous. Back to Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 is just picking up that keynote that was set right at the beginning of the Psaltery in Psalm 1. Psalm 119, verse 2. Again, blessed. It's, you know, what does this mean, blessed? It's hard to articulate how blessed we are. This is eternal, spectacular blessing. It's overwhelming. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And one thing we can say as we study David's life, he was wholehearted. He wasn't half-hearted. And he understood the blessing of being wholehearted toward God and how God responds to someone who's wholehearted. And we need us brethren to be wholehearted. We can't be half-hearted. We can't be, you know, 6 days a week we live however we want, and then on the seventh day we give God a couple of hours of attention. That's not wholehearted. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. So this emphasis on God's ways. You have commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And I should have mentioned that throughout the psalm. In fact, I was reading a commentary and he says here, the word law is used 25 times. Word 24 times. These are all synonyms for law. Word 24 times, decision or judgment and testimony 23 times, command 22 times, statute and precept 21 times, and saying or oracle or promise 19 times. So there are 8 synonyms that are used for Torah. And so the whole psalm is this. So there's 8 verses for each stanza. There's 22 stanzas. And there are 8 synonyms for law or Torah that are used throughout this psalm. So it's just a complete over emphasis on the power of God's law and the blessing of God's law. And so many people think, oh, I've got to get rid of God's law. It's so draconian. This wise man understood just how powerful God's law is. He says, you have commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That's the command. Diligent in the keeping of the precepts. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Again, just synonyms for law. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Christ admonished the church at Laodicea, counsel them to buy from him, to focus on repentance, because they were going to be found naked. There's a judgment coming, and there's going to be those who are glorified and those who are ashamed. The wicked will be ashamed, but among God's covenant people, there will also be those that are ashamed. And the psalmist understands this. And so there's this plea for God to help him have respect unto all of his commandments. Here in 2 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, speaking of the righteous, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's how serious this is. That's how serious this is. And we're in a time now, and I think people don't fully appreciate how we're being set up to fail. How we're being set up to fail. All of these socialist movements, these seductions, this time of nonstop deception, and brethren are falling into it. And if we fall into this deception, when the real pressure comes, and lo, it will come, when the real pressure comes, if we've fallen into these, I'll call them micro deceptions, but they're getting bigger and bigger, we're not going to stand when the big push comes. We need to be diligently adhering to God's way so that as we gain success and muscle in resisting these deceptions, when the big pressure comes, we've developed the spiritual muscle. We've developed the spiritual backbone. We will not kowtow. We will not seek approval from the wicked. We'll stand our ground. And I think too many of us have shown how easily we will fold, how easily Satan can tap into the fear of humans. We can't be like this. He says, it's better for the righteous not to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and turn away from it. So Christ is coming and there's going to be glorification, but the psalmist is also saying there's also going to be shame. Back to Psalm 119, he says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. God's judgments are righteous. We need to stand by them, not fall into neo-Marxist justice. Neo-Marxist versions of social justice, environmental justice, family justice, all of these worldly man-made justices that are antithetical to Christ or antichristic. And how easily we see brethren falling into this. We've got to be wholehearted with the Torah. And anything that does not comply with Torah, we reject. We reject outright, and we reject as a community. It's a communal rejection because we're all sticking to Torah. He says, I'll praise you with uprightness of heart, not deception of heart, not double-mindedness and half-heartedness, but with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. God is righteous with a very high standard and a very high expectation. We cannot take him for granted. We cannot think, oh, once saved, always saved. I can do whatever I like. It doesn't matter. God has to take me. We have to realize, no, he doesn't have to take us. He chooses us. He's called us, but he has expectations. And we need to have a high reverence for God. And a high reverence for his expectations. And fear, a healthy fear of him, so that we're not afraid of men. We're not afraid of men when they come with their threats and their mandates. We don't back down because we fear God. And we don't take God for granted. I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So those are the first eight verses for the first stanza where we just see the psalmist's high regard for God's way and his awareness that the world is going to be separated into two camps. Those who are accepted and glorified and blessed by God, and those who are rejected and ashamed. And yes, that's the wicked, but even amongst the covenant community will be those who are rejected and ashamed. And he is diligent to not be in that camp. Bet. Wherewithal shall a young man or a young person cleanse his way? You know, our young people, it's easy to get swept up, and the social engineers understand how easy it is to take advantage of young people. And they're trying to seduce young people at an earlier and earlier age. Even now going after a kindergarten and bringing in all kinds of perversion to young minds so that young minds just can't think clearly and don't have a proper moral code. I remember Brave New World, Aldous Huxley made a point in the book about the reversal of the moral code and how the savage who wanted to be loyal to one woman was seen as a savage. What an awful thing to do, to just be with one person, monogamy. That the right standard of morality was to be promiscuous and just to sleep with everybody. And the fact that he only wanted to be with one woman, it was repulsive to them. And I remember reading that and just thinking, wow, can a moral code flip so, you know, drastically, 180 degree flip? And I have the answer now. Absolutely. Absolutely. Human beings are like a software program that can be reprogrammed. And the social engineers understand this. And our whole society, going into every store now, I'm seeing pride flags everywhere. And everybody's taking pride in being proud. And that obviously is something that we know as a terrible sin. But everywhere we go, we see pride now. And they don't even realize that pride is a sin. God rejects pride and accepts the humble. But everybody's proud to be proud and to support the pride movement and all of the LGBTQ2IA plus all of this. And let's add pedophilia now. No, let's add pedophilia. We couldn't say that before. If you said that 10 years ago, that was madness. Now it's quite obvious that that's next on the agenda. So how does a young person get out of all of this filth? By taking heed thereto according to your word. And even for our older brethren, the scripture says, flee fornication in Ephesians 5. Flee fornication. Flee sexual filth. Because Satan knows how to tap into this sort of natural biological wiring of humans to have them become addicted to perversity. The Proverbs say, drink water out of your own cistern. Develop that loyalty, that special bond and intimacy that God designed for a man and his wife. Rejoice in that. Respect that. Pursue that. And keep yourself clean and unspotted from this evil world. So this is how, in this perverse, in this sea of, Christ returns at the pinnacle of perversity and finds a people ready for him. How did these people become without spot or wrinkle and ready to receive him? By taking heed thereto, according to his word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And again, this is something that I have to just warn anybody in my earshot and anybody in your earshot, if we can repeat the warning. It is easy to wander from God's commandments, especially when we are up against Satan. The intellectual horsepower of Satan, of the devil, is beyond our capability to even comprehend. And he has human beings who are extremely clever and who are able to orchestrate an agenda on society that most people are just unsuspecting. And they go along with it. And even brethren can be unsuspecting and be seduced and think that they're doing the right thing and become very vocal and very agitated. But this is not the way of Christ. This is not the Torah. In fact, those same brethren, if you were to sit them down and say, tell me your understanding of Torah, teach me Torah, they would have no idea what's in the Torah. Very superficial. They wouldn't have the grasp of Torah that we see the psalmist has here. And that's the clear indicator that they have strayed from the way. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And there's the key. We have to hide it in our heart. And especially, we don't know, you know, in the Middle East right now, they will round up your phone. They'll ask you to unlock your phone. And if there's a Bible app on your phone, you will either be persecuted, you could even be killed. The Bible is illegal in places in the Middle East. And it's this, you know, the Islamic, anti-Christic Islamic agenda, the Western world with its postmodernism has the same level of anti-Christic hatred for the Bible. And so let's not be surprised if the Bible is removed, if the Bible becomes hate speech. But if we have memorized it, if we have memorized passages that enable us to remember other passages, and when we're together, we can edify one another. This is how we are able to resist seduction. By keeping God, meditating on God's word and hiding it in our heart. So here in Psalm 37, let's just compare what the psalmist in 119 is saying with Psalm 37. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Again, we hear Psalm 119, we hear the wisdom being spoken, and his tongue talks of judgment. Not social justice, not environmental justice, not family justice, not racial justice, God's judgment. That's what the righteous, that's what's on the tongue of the righteous, because that's what's in the heart of the righteous. The law of God is in his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. It's again, the Torah is a way. It's the path of the arrow to the target. And Christ said, came and said, I am the way. And his followers were followers of the way. It's all Torah. It's all following the path to the target. sin is missing the target, breaking away from Torah, deviating from the path. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. So this is what I'm saying, brethren. This is serious. The instability that you're seeing in the world today is setting up for a reconfiguration of the world, a reconfiguration of the moral code of society, and a spectacular collision between the wicked and the righteous. A spectacular collision. Christ says it's going to be so bad that the daughter-in-law will betray the mother, the father, the son-in-law, or the son. Or even it'll break up families. And we've just had a dress rehearsal of this. How easily the politicians could turn family against family. If you stood for Trump, family breaks off with you. Never talk to you again. And now we have this new administration. I really need to sit down and just make a list of the myriad of ways that this current administration is destroying America. And when America collapses, the free world collapses with it. I hope we understand this. I don't think all of us understand this yet, but we're beginning to see it. We're beginning to experience it. We're beginning to see economic hardship. All of us are feeling inflation. All of us are seeing job losses, loved ones who can't find work. And this is just the beginning. So we've had these dress rehearsals, and we're going through one now. And it's setting up for this spectacular collision and conflict. And make no mistake, the Antichrist hates you. They speak words of love. They have wonderful rhetoric. It's amazing. To hear the rhetoric of these people, it's like, how do they come up with these beautiful words? And this, they just sound so moral. But behind these beautiful words and these high moral stances is a hatred for Christ and anyone who follows Christ, and that means you. So we need to be ready, because the scripture tells us the wicked watches the righteous. And today, you know, this, who could have foreseen that the wicked watching the righteous could be fulfilled in such a powerful technological way as it is today, where everywhere you go, every word you speak, everything you look at, how long you spend in your home, how long you spend in your car, who you spend time with, all of this data is being gathered and monitored and studied. And the scripture says the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Let's not go along with this. And when we see things like governments issuing mandates to destroy freedom and bodily autonomy, we should never, ever, ever go along with it. Even if we agree with the injection, we do not agree with the government removing freedom, because we understand this. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. So I didn't say this. This is the word of God. But the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So again, it's leading up to this spectacular conflict between the righteous and the wicked. But it's also leading up to this spectacular judgment that God will have over every human. In the end, God's judgment is reality. He says in verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." So there's a declaration. And Christ came warning us that we must be prepared to declare him and not back down. So there's a declaration, and the psalmist is not naive. He understands the trouble he will face as a result of this declaration. But that's not what troubles him. It will trouble him, but it's not where his focus is. His focus is on the relationship he has with Christ, And so much so that this way of life that he has come to understand through Torah means more to him than all the riches in the world. And this is something that's very, this is going to separate the wicked from the righteous. That the elite think that they can manipulate us through the economy and through wealth. They cannot understand that for the righteous, there's something that means so much more to us than anything material. They can't grasp this because their mind doesn't work this way. But this is all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. So again, it's all about the ways. There's two different paths. And just reminding you here in Acts 9:2, that the followers of Christ were followers of the way. If any be found in this way, this is speaking of the followers of Torah. Christ was the Torah personified, and his followers were followers of the Torah. And to set up this false dichotomy of you're either following the Torah or you're following Christ, this is bizarre. Christ was the Torah personified. Psalm 11, the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So again, it's just this real dichotomy between the wicked and the righteous. Now, I wanted to say this in Revelation 1, verses 7 and 9. Christ is returning. Behold, he's returning with the clouds. That's how he left. That's how he's returning. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, which is the Jews who will repent. And then he says this, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. This is the judgment. And so the wicked will have their way, but it's like a flower blossoming. It's not going to last long. And we have to just hold on to God's ways. And John says here, even so, oh well, amen. But then in verse 9, notice this. He introduces himself as our brother, but also our companion in tribulation. And in the kingdom, not just the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but the patience of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we have to learn as followers of Christ, is patience. Those brethren among us who want justice now, what do we want? Justice. What kind of justice? Social justice. When do we want it? We want it now. And that sort of attitude, that agitated attitude of wanting to take down the Supreme Court or take down the different institutions of society and pull down the statues, agitation and that agitated attitude, it's not of Christ. What is of Christ is the patience of the saints. To see the big picture, the way we're seeing here in the author of Psalm 119, to really grasp the Torah in a very, very deep way, and to have a broad vision of what God is doing and our place in God's plan if we comply with his commands, so much so that we can have patience. And that patience coming from our declaration that righteousness will come from our lips. The wicked hate the righteous. The wicked hate Christ, and they hate the speech that comes from those who follow Christ because they hate Christ. And so John is telling us here that he's our companion in tribulation and in the patience of Christ. So it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom, and therefore we have to have vision. And with that vision comes patience. And then John is telling us that he was being punished. He was in this isolation, this sort of solitary confinement. He was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a cost. There is a penalty for being faithful to the word of God. There is a sacrifice for adhering to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry for those brethren who think that we can have Christ and we can have everything we want now. That's just not in the Bible. And anybody who's teaching this is a false teacher. We need to help the brethren understand that if we're going to follow Christ and follow his apostles like John, it's going to come at a cost, especially now. And it's hard for us in the West because we've had it so good for so long. And now the elite have finally taken over. They've infiltrated the Western democracies built upon Christian ethics, and they're completely uprooting any semblance, any evidence that these societies were actually built upon the Bible and the biblical moral code. So it's flipping and it's all going opposite, which means we better be ready. And the way that we're going to be ready is to be committed to the Torah. He says, going back to Psalm 119, so this testimony of Christ, living by the testimony of Christ and the word of God and the Torah, there's a penalty associated with it, and there's a tremendous reward. Blessed are they who adhere to the Torah, but persecuted are they in this life who desire to live godly in Christ. And so we just have to get used to that. And this attitude that we can have what we want now, and we can overthrow governments now. Christ said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. That he could absolutely overturn this world now. But that wasn't the plan. And we are followers of Christ. He says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. And there's a cost to keeping the testimonies. But he's pleading with God to ultimately remove this reproach and contempt. Listen to this. Princes. These are the elite. Today we might not call them princes. We might call them presidents. We might call them prime ministers. We might just call them the elite. Also did sit and speak against me. These false accusations at the highest level. Who am I? Who are you? How did we get on their radar? Well, it's not that so much that we're on their radar. It's the power of God's word. And we speak God's word with all of its power. And this is what gets on their radar. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but your servant did meditate in your statutes. This is where our power comes from. Taking the time, and you brethren who are just so faithful and always encouraging us to keep digging into God's word, this is where our power comes from. This is what activates the Holy Spirit. It's what reinforces the Holy Spirit. It's what strengthens the Holy Spirit. And it's what educates our mind in the Holy Spirit so that we can preach the gospel powerfully and more precisely. He says, okay, so I think, Pastor Murray, I think I just skipped something here. Let me just do this. Sorry, brethren, I think I skipped a couple of verses. Pastor Murray is just letting me know. Let me just go quickly here. I think my reference might have missed. And that's always tell me if I skip verses because it's line by line. We don't want to skip anything. Thank you, Pastor Murray. Psalm 119. We go 14 to 21. And let me see where I am here. I'm at 22. Okay, so let's pick up 14 to 21. He says here, thank you, Pastor Murray. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is a commitment. And this is the commitment, this is the level of commitment we have to have, that we're not going to forget his word. We're not going to forget his commandments. When the whole world is running completely diametrically opposed to Christ, we're not going to forget Christ's instruction. And we're going to hold the line. Gimel, the next stanza. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. So we need God's help to keep his word. Open you my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And so obviously he has beheld wondrous things out of God's law in order to request God to continue to open his eyes so that he may continue to see the wondrous things in God's law. Christ said, to him who has, more will be given. But to him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. And so it can be easy. Anybody can read the Bible and benefit from it. And anybody can read the Bible and think they understand it, when actually they don't. But they're benefiting from it and they think they have an understanding, but it's not the proper understanding. As we come into the proper understanding, I think we gain a respect for being studious. We gain a respect for digging into the foundation of the Torah to understand how the Torah informs everything else in the scripture. So he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And I'm just getting a message here that my view may not be good. Let me just, so brethren, if you can just type in the chat, I'm just going to do a check and make sure that I am in fact coming through clearly, that you can see the scriptures and you can hear my voice clearly. I am at Psalm 119, and we just got into the third stanza at verse 17. So I'm just going to check the chat. Yes, I think everything is going great. Thank you, Church of God in Kilgore. Where is Kilgore? Let us know. Thank you for that. Okay, let's go back then. I think everything is fine. He says here, Gimel, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep your word. This is the whole thing. In fact, again, in Revelation, blessed are they who, thank you, Brother Sean, everything's good. East Texas, excellent. Kilgore is in East Texas. Texas, maybe you guys are going to separate from this falling, collapsing American empire. Who knows? Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Blessed are they. Well, blessed is he who reads and they who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. There's a keeping that's involved. And again, if we think that we can follow this path and not fight for it, we're deluded. We're deluded. Satan is the god of this world. And if we're going to follow Christ, we have a fight on our hands. He says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And that's our prayer, brethren. That's why we're doing these line upon line studies, so that we can gain a depth of understanding and behold wondrous things out of the Torah and come into a level of understanding that our ancestors never had, because we can benefit from their understanding and then we can add to it and go higher, go deeper, especially in the end time. Somebody has to preach the gospel precisely and powerfully in the end time. And if the ends of the age have come upon us, why not us? Why not us? Everybody's a human being. It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And whether or not we will yield to that. So we just have to acknowledge what we're involved in, and that our understanding today is not what it can be tomorrow, as long as we're digging. And so we're really grateful for those of you who join us here in Burlington, Pastor Murray, Deacon Jan, and myself. We labor to understand the wonderful things in the Torah and how it informs the rest of the scripture, so that we can be mighty and strong, and all of us can be mighty and strong in the Lord. My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto to your judgments at all times. So it's like just you're heartbroken over this. It's just a longing, just really desires the judgment of God. This is where we need to get to. Whatever we have in this world, hopefully we're living lives in such a way that God can bless us. And God does bless us when we adhere to his word. But we mustn't allow ourselves to be seduced by material things. We mustn't allow ourselves to be forced to comply with the wicked just because they threaten to take material things away from us. We've got to be ready And the Bible is very, very clear. Christ was very clear that those who seek to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That suffering is part of the package. And anybody who's not teaching us this is not teaching us the way of God. But as much as suffering is a part of the package, so is this incredible delight that we can have in the Word of God. You have rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandments. As I said earlier, this is Pride Month. This is June 2022 for the sake of the archive. They've given a whole month to Pride. And the whole, I won't say the whole, but a majority of business people have given themselves over to promote this. It's the new thing. Pride. Why would we rejoice in pride? That's an attribute of the devil. But it's just out there. Pride, pride, pride. But God has rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandments. And amen to that. Do they ever err? And that's, you know, this, they do err from your commandments. This is where, you know, when I think about the access to God's commandments, and when I say the commandments, I don't just mean the Ten Commandments. I mean the Torah and all of the prophetic writings and the apostolic writings and all of the instructions in the scripture that are in the imperative, where God is telling us to do something. As we learn these imperatives and seek to live by them, how blessed we are and how separate we are from this world. And I think we have to accept this. We are not of this world. Let's stop trying to fit in, trying to pretend that we can somehow comply with all of this. When they want to murder babies and they rejoice in the murder of tens of millions of human beings made in God's image, can we go along with this? When they want to introduce pedophilia into classrooms and normalize this, can we agree to this? When children are slaughtered and the police are told to stand down and allow it to happen, and then nothing is really said about that, do we agree with this? Do we only get agitated when the politicians tell us to get agitated and manipulate us? Or do we just always consistently stick to the Torah and the moral code of the Torah? God has rebuked the proud that are cursed. This is, again, very, very clear separation. And they're erring. This world is just, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds in any detail in terms of the error of the wicked. I know at a high level, they're all going to accept the mark of the beast, and they're going to worship the beast, and they're going to be warmongers and whoremongers. I understand that. But in the detailed application of wickedness, especially with the level of technology and artificial intelligence, where is all of this going? I don't know. I know it's going to be extreme. I know it's going to be spectacular. And in a way, and I don't want to trivialize it, but in a way it doesn't matter, because God has rebuked the proud that are cursed. Thank you, Pastor Murray. I don't know what happened there, so if you can please let me know again if I miss any verses. We want to make sure. Sometimes when I'm doing the references, if I just put a slight change in a reference, it might think I'm speaking of one book when I'm speaking of another. So we just have to be careful there. He says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies at cost." And there is reproach and contempt for doing this. And as I said, in Brave New World, in this part of the book where the savage wants to be loyal to this one woman, and the society is just totally repulsed by this immoral behavior. This is the upside down world we're heading into, where if you don't want abortion on demand, you are immoral. If you don't support sodomy and pedophilia, you are immoral. If you don't support a child being mutilated to become something they are not, you are immoral. And if you, therefore, where all of this is heading, if you are a Christian following that ancient hate speech called the Bible, you are immoral. And there will be reproach and contempt. God's people have always suffered reproach and contempt. And it's going to be spectacular. But the psalmist is pleading with God to remove this from him. And he promises to remove the reproach and contempt from the covenant people. So we got here that the elite, he even got on the radar of the elite. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but your servant did meditate on your statutes. And so here's the formula for success that Psalm 119 is giving us. That no matter what comes our way, we meditate on the Torah. We meditate on the Torah. And I think what's also beautiful is as we come to understand the Torah, our appreciation for the entire corpus of Scripture just it skyrockets. It grows exponentially. Because now we just realize the incredible wisdom of God in the Torah, in the Scripture, and how it's all architected. And that gives us even deeper commitment, that we cannot be swayed, we cannot be taken away from the Scripture because we see the mind of God and we appreciate it. Revelation 13, again, these princes, these elite, we've got to be careful that we do not follow them. We do not allow them to seduce us. We do not support antichristic government mandates. Revelation 13:5 says, there was given unto him, this is the elite of the elite, it was given unto him a mouth speaking great and blasphemies. This is where it's heading. You know, if we could go back in time and when they took the prayer out of the classroom and we agreed to it, if only we could have seen, well, where is this heading? When they asked for homosexual marriage and we, hey, it's just two people who want to love each other and this is all we want. If only we could have fast-forwarded the tape to see where is this heading. And when they say vaccine, it's not even a vaccine. We have to speak truth. They had to change the definition so that we call it vaccine. But when they say this injection is mandated and every human being on the planet must be injected by this, we can't agree with this. We have to say, okay, if we agree with this, where is it heading? Could you roll the tape? Push fast-forward for me. By 10 years. And I want to see if society agrees today to give government this much power over the human being that they can even go inside the human against their own will. And we agree to this. And now they want to do it to babies. Oh, we have approval to inject 6-month-old babies with this experimental inoculation that we have no safety data for, or insufficient. We haven't had 10 years of data. We don't know, but we want the right to take your child and inject them with this. Okay, fast forward the tape. If we allow you to do this, where does it end up? And then we only have ourselves to blame. If we allow government to divide us, and stop brethren at the door and begin to hate each other because the government says we should do this, fast forward the tape. Where does this end up? By adhering to the Torah, we don't get seduced. There's no wiggle room. There's no deviation. There's no compromise. We are diligently seeking to adhere to the Torah. So this beast, we fast forward the tape. Where did Saul end up? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and woe be unto us if we supported this. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months with the slaughter. He says he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, because that's what it was all about. And everything that's happening in the chaos that we see in our society today, as much as, you know, we mourn the loss of what was the greatest civilization the world has ever seen. Yes, it's human beings, but still it was quite an achievement for humans. And the founders of America actually said this whole experiment depends upon a religious society. That without the society being morally educated by the Bible, this whole experiment will fail. And boy, are we seeing that today. So yes, it hurts us personally that the world we know is collapsing and everything we know we're going to lose. But at the same time, we have a bigger picture and we're going to gain tremendous glory and we're ready for this. We did see it coming. But this is where it's heading. And we need to be careful that we're not supporting anything that ultimately finds its way here. And then we have blood on our hands. Because this is a bloody murderer. This is a bloody murderer of the saints. And all of these initiatives that are reconfiguring the world, we keep our hands clean. We don't want anything to do with it because of the repercussions from God. So he opens his mouth in blasphemy against God. That's the agenda. All of this transgenderism, sodomy, pedophilia, this just crazy removal of freedoms, all of it is coming from the mind of the devil who hates God. And this is his representative now, who opens his mouth and says what the devil is truly thinking in blasphemy against God. And then we realize, is this what we were agreeing to? To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That's the agenda, to remove God's name from the planet. So did we agree with those things that enabled him ultimately to have this power as this globalization is setting in? Were we supporting those initiatives that allowed it to set in? And now that it's set in, he makes war with the saints and we contributed to that. Woe be unto us if that's the case. But by adhering to the Torah, we have nothing to do with it. We keep our hands and our hearts clean. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That's slaughter. That's ugly. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Well, now, how did that happen? All nations? A nation like the United States that's built upon the whole concept of freedom, the entire Constitution is based upon the recognition of the human being having the right from God, not from politicians. How does he capture these nations? Through rhetoric, seduction, cooperation and compliance. When you see them fighting for abortion, they're fighting for the destruction of their own souls. That's how Satan works. He uses puppets, and then when he's finished with the puppets, he destroys the puppets. And we do it to ourselves. Power was given him. How did this happen? Did we support this? Fast forward the tape. Where does it end up? Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this book of life, Christ warned the church, I will etch you out of this book of life if you do not obey me. So we can be in the book and be etched out. So says the Bible. Or we can be in the book. And when Christ returns, inherit eternal life. But it's all based upon Torah. It's not Torah or Christ. Christ is the Torah. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to comply. We're able to understand and comply with the Torah and resist the evil, the error of the wicked in this society that we live in today. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. So blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That our counsel is the Torah, is God's word. And his testimonies are our delight. And it's this is truly where we have to be. And, you know, we know it's your delight, brethren. It's amazing the love that you have for God's word. It inspires us. And that's why God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because we need that inspiration that we gather from each other. There's inspiration we get from the word directly, but there's inspiration we get from each other and how each other are experiencing and interpreting the word, and iron sharpening iron. Deleth. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to your word. So he's in some sort of trouble here. Almost it looks like unto death. He wants God to save him and restore him to life. He says, I have declared my ways and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. So he's committing himself to God's way. Make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And this is, we cannot help but speak of God's wondrous works. And this is what's going to push back the error of the wicked. When we can speak confidently and intelligently about God's wondrous works. And people will hear this. And again, go back to the Innocence Project, particularly the covenant people of God, will hear of his wondrous works. How faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So somebody has to be sent with the word of God, and we have to, this is why we do these studies, so that we can understand his precepts, and then we can talk of his wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. So again, he's in some sort of trouble. And he's pleading with God, strengthen thou me according to your word. So he understands the word and he understands the promise in the word. And now he's calling on God to fulfill that promise. Remove from me the way of lying. Remove from me the way of lying. And I spoke about this. I actually quoted a book. I love the title of the book, Live Not by Lies. And that was actually quoting Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who had to live through this communist tyranny and realize that when these tyrants take power and have absolute control, you still have the choice whether or not you will go along with them. And he said, you may not be able to resist them openly and powerfully, but at least do this. Don't live by lies. So a very small example. Let's stop calling it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. They actually changed the definition of the word vaccine because they openly admit this will not help, this will not stop you from getting the disease, nor will it stop you from transmitting it. Well, what's the purpose of a vaccine then? Vaccine, I'm vaccinated. I can now mingle. I don't have to worry about this thing, and I'm not going to spread it either. No, we've changed the definition of vaccine. No, well, you can't play with words like that. So I'll call it an injection, call it an inoculation. And in some cases, it's going to be helpful. It's a new drug gene therapy. And there are people who have benefited from this, and that's fine. But let's not pretend anymore. Let's not live by lies. A man cannot give birth. A man cannot be pregnant. Gender is not fluid. Let's stop living by lies. But you cannot get past Genesis 1 and then fit into this society. So we don't get past Genesis 1 and we realize there's a problem here. Because there's this incredible time of deception and lying. And our leaders are constantly lying. And they're caught out in the lie and nobody cares. So just move along. Nothing to see here. Well, we can't do this. Christ abhors lying. And all liars will be thrown into the lake of fire. So we cannot do this. Remove from me, please God, remove from us the way of lying. It's not remove from us lying. No, there's a way of lying. This is a lifestyle of deception and deceiving. Where you're talking to a human being made in the image and likeness of God, and words are coming out of their mouth, and you think you can take these words as truth, because they said these things, but they're looking you in the eye and these words are coming out of their mouth and it's all false. It's all deception and they're made in the image and likeness of God. This is the world we live in today. Remove from us the way of lying. Grant me your law graciously. This rejoicing in God's law. It's amazing. I have chosen the way of truth. Brethren, can we agree that we will not be offended by truth because we've chosen the way of truth? Maybe I don't like what I'm hearing, but I just want to know, is it true? And if it's true, I accept it. I'll get over, don't worry about my feelings. I'll get over my feelings because I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. I want to be right with God. Your judgments. I'm not going to be manipulated by politicians with righteous rhetoric and pretty words, with new definitions of justice that the whole society is getting swept up in. I'm not going to go along with that. Why? Because your judgments, God, have I laid before me. And it might not make me popular, but I'm not seeking popularity. Father, we are seeking your judgments. I have stuck unto your testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. So there will be persecution, there will be suffering, there will be shame for being a Christian, but not from God. And God has the final word. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. So there's a place where we come to where we truly understand. And we are, you know, one thing about running in the way of the Torah is if you're sprinting in a certain direction, it's very hard to turn you around. But if you're meandering and lollygagging and loitering and sitting down and lying down and just not really having any direction, it's very easy to point you in a different direction. But if we're very clear on the end of the law, the objective of the law, and we're running toward that, it's going to be very hard to cause us to deviate. Excuse me. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. So there's a way of lying. There's the error of the wicked. There's a society that's going insane because of their ways. And then there's the way of the Torah, which Christ came and lived. And we are followers of the way. Teach me. And this is really, you know, through our studies together, this is answered prayer. As we study God's word together, the different prophets and the teachings of the different writers of the Bible, we are being taught by the Holy Spirit. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Once we understand what we've been recruited into, we're in this to the end, and it's okay. And again, I have to say, I've said it several times because it has really kind of, I don't want to say it's shaken me. It certainly informed me. It certainly has disturbed me. The fearfulness that the politicians were able to inject into the church. I really was disturbed by that. And it was just a dress rehearsal. But at least we got to see in this dress rehearsal what it's going to be like. And it gives us an opportunity to evaluate ourselves and to say, because ancient Israel, they worshipped Jehovah and they worshipped Molech at the same time. So they had this kind of bizarre, they didn't let go of the worship of Jehovah. They still did that. They just introduced pagan worship to go alongside it and this syncretism. Why would we be any different if we are weak? If we are fearful, the government wants to be God. The state, these Marxists want to remove God and they want to be your parents. They want to be your provider. They want to be your teacher and your instructor. And maybe more specifically and more accurately, they really want to get you out of the way. They want to go after your children. They want to get the minds when they're young. And create people who are human beings who are totally devoted to the state. And we need to be careful of this false religion, the worship of Molech, the worship of Satan, But more importantly, it can be very seductive if we're still worshiping Jehovah while we worship the state. We're following God, but the state's commandments are actually more important. We have to be very, very careful of this, brethren. And we cannot allow fear, a spirit of fear, to come into. The politicians want to inject fear into humans. And isn't it amazing that monkeypox, monkeypox could be the next pandemic. We have to be very, very careful. Monkeypox is on the rise. You know what? This is very dangerous, but it's Pride Month. And we know that monkeypox is particularly spreading among the homosexual community through genital contact. It's Pride Month. Well, we can't interfere with pride, but we certainly can stop people attending church. We will send ministers or preachers or priests, we will send them to jail for trying to assemble when we said there's a pandemic. But when it comes to sodomy, hey, who are we to get in the way of that? If people are involved in illicit sex, they could get pregnant. Well, then we'll just abort the baby. We would never say, think about abstinence. But we will certainly say to, when it comes to attending church services, think about abstaining from church service. Do you see what kind of God the state is asking us to accept? And how this contradicts the Torah? Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end. This is not without conflict, not without trouble. But I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. There's no double-mindedness, and there's no half-heartedness here. When we understand what we're involved in. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight. For me, my life was a bizarre, just patch of darkness and nothingness. And somehow God just reached down and said, I'll take you. And a few decades later, I feel like I'm actually scratching the surface of God's word and I'm beginning to understand it. And it's so delightful. But it's by God's grace. To him who has, more will be given. But we have to be like Jacob, who wanted that blessing so much. He wrestled with God all night and would not let go until he received the blessing. That's our spiritual forefather. And that's the spirit of the true Christian. We will go in this path because this is our delight and we will not let go. Incline my heart unto your testimonies. And not to covetousness. The Marxists, the neo-Marxists, can never infiltrate us because we're not interested in covetousness. Don't tell us what other people have and try to convince us that we should have what they have. We're not interested because we have the law, we have the testimonies, and we will accept the blessing that God gives to us. And we're happy that other people have these things. I hope it works out for them. Because having material things is no guarantee of happiness. Having material things is no guarantee of family success. It's no guarantee of relationships. So I hope it works out for them. But don't come telling me what other people have and that I should be upset that the government should take these things from them and give it to me. It's bizarre. Covetousness. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. In fact, Timothy says, speaking of this, if any man teach other than the true gospel teachings, the true doctrines, if any man teach otherwise, and they do, and they still do, and consent not to wholesome words. The words of the apostles were based upon the Torah, and there was resistance in the early church to their teachings. And Paul just had to make it clear to Timothy, beware of these people who are in the church, and who teach otherwise, and they do not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy. And that's what the social engineers, envy is such a powerful human emotion. And that's what they tap into. And the Torah resists envy. Strife, railings, evil surmising, all of what we're seeing in our society today, all of the rioting and the agitation, it's all of this strife and envy and railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing, this is their supposition, that gain is godliness. That's what they think. That the prosperity gospel and measuring your blessing by your material progress and appealing to people who are weak in the faith and infiltrating the church with this, because this is how they think. They think this is how we think. From such, withdraw yourself. It's not according to Torah. Just the last few verses here. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. What a great prayer for us today. Because there's so much vanity. Everything is flashing and brand new and shiny. And at the end of the day, it's vanity. I've got to have this new car. I've got to have this new computer. I've got to have this new iPhone. End of the day, it's nothing. In fact, a lot of these things are just enslavement. All the advertising. So turn my eyes away from all the advertising, which is pushing covetousness and envy. And quicken thou me in your way. Again, it's all about the way. Establish your word unto your servant who is devoted to your fear. How can we be devoted to the fear of Jehovah and be afraid of the state? How does that work? The state wants to be God. In fact, the state is God. But he wants to be our God. And the state is not happy because we don't accept him. But when Daniel refused, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the state, where were all the other Jews? Why only them? So let us not be surprised if the faithful remnant before the return of Christ is small. Smaller than we actually thought. This shouldn't surprise us. Because when we read the psalmist here, we see the level of devotion and singularity of purpose and focus and desire and love for God's law, for the Torah. That's required. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. He does not want to end up on the wrong side of God. Behold, I have longed for your precepts. Quicken me in your righteousness. I've longed for your precepts. I've longed for the Torah. I've longed to understand your way and to follow your way. This is the way and the thinking of the righteous. So that's 40 verses of Psalm 119, which means we've covered 5 stanzas, because every stanza has 8 verses, each one a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and all 8 verses in that stanza all begin with the same Hebrew letter, which means to me, this was something that was memorized, and that would be a bit of a mnemonic device or memory aid. But also, what we're seeing here is the depth of love that the psalmist had for the Word of God. And as we see the world around us growing very, very, very dark, we have been betrayed by our leaders. And with that betrayal, is the entrance from the depth of the pit of hell, really, is the entrance of the influence of the demonic world. And unless we are devoted to this path, we are up against an intellectual horsepower that will easily deceive us. We don't have the intellect to withstand the devil. What we do have is the Torah and the power of God's word. Let's love God's word the way we see this psalmist have this high regard for it. And with this love and this devotion that we have to Christ's word, to his instructions, to Torah, we will never go astray. Because in the end, at the end of all of this, comes the judgment. And there will be those that are put to shame and those that are honored. God wants you and I to be honored and to be with Christ eternally. What a wonderful God we serve. Thank you, brethren, for joining us this evening. God bless you. Hopefully you'll be able to join us on Sabbath. Deacon Jan will be giving the sermon this Sabbath. God bless you, brethren. Good night.